James chapter 12. It's not particularly a Christmas message this morning. I do love Christmas time. I taught a Christmas Sunday school lesson about Herod and how he perceived the coming of the Savior. But I'm going to go a little bit different route in the Sunday morning service this morning, not for lack of love for Christmas. I shouldn't even say this probably, but I even like the occasional Hallmark movie at Christmas time. Look at you guys. Some of you guys are like, did you just say that? I just surrendered my man card, I guess. But occasionally, there are some of you ladies are like, oh, what? They're wonderful. But I do find that if you've seen them one, pretty much you know the plot of most of them. But something about it's festive and they're nice, and I digress. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do you know that God loves the ministry? I want to speak to you on the topic of ministry this morning because I do feel that it is something that everybody who knows the Lord should be involved in. We should be involved in ministry, and I'll define ministry in here in just a few minutes, but I want you to know in starting this morning that I love the ministry. I love participating in something that is affecting the eternal. To participate in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are lost and on their way to hell, I count it a great privilege to participate in ministry in every which way that I can. And you may say, well, Brother Tricky, I'm not called to be a preacher. I don't feel led to go to the mission field. Why do I need to love the ministry? Well, the answer to that question is because God loves the ministry, and you ought to love it because God loves it. And if you're going to have a heart after the things of God, then you need to have a heart for the ministry of God and how we serve him. The ministry is where you get to invest in eternity. So much of what we do in the world today, so much of what we do on a day-to-day basis is a lot that will just pass away at the end of life. When the earth is destroyed, so much of what we have worked for, in a sense, will pass away, but not the things that you do for the Lord. We are laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven by participating in the ministry. And I hope and I challenge you today that you will love the ministry that God has called you to. Everyone ought to be involved in ministry. Every person in this auditorium this morning needs to be involved in some way of serving in the ministry. And there's a little bit of confusion, I could say, about the word ministry. It doesn't mean that everyone in here should be a preacher, per se, of a church. Or it doesn't mean that everyone should have a specific title in ministry. But what ministry does mean, and probably this is a short definition, but one of my favorites. A ministry is to serve. In some capacity, my friend, you are able to serve in the ministry. So I want you to sort of think about that question today. How am I involved in ministry? And what part do I serve in ministry? I am a firm believer that every Christian ought to be serving in some sort of ministry in the local church. In the text we're going to read, I want you to look, and probably you're very familiar with this passage of Scripture, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul likens the ministry to a body of Christ. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll read verse 14 through 27. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, and it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Father, we thank you for, again, this time that we have together. I ask that you would bless the speaking of your word, Lord, and the reading of it. Give us a clear understanding of what you'd have for us this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to portray an urgency to be involved in ministry any way in which we can. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Everyone can do something. And there are many excuses as to why some people feel that they're unable. I was born in Ponca City, Oklahoma, and my grandfather pastored Central Baptist Church there for many years. And then when he resigned and took another church in a different part of the state, my uncle, John Waterloo, pastors that church, and he continues to do so today. But there was a lady in that church, and her name was Jimmy Chambers. Jimmy Chambers was a remarkable servant of God in ministry, and there was a time the last several years of her life where she never set one foot in the church. Let me read you. I talked to my aunt this last week, and I asked her to give me a short testimony of Jimmy Chambers, and the reason I asked her is because she did a lot of work with Jimmy Chambers. She was in a nursing home, and she went and visited her frequently, but whenever you hear the name Jimmy Chambers around Central Baptist Church or in our family, our mind automatically goes to how remarkable this woman was. And I'm going to read to you in this testimony as to why that is. Jimmy Chambers was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at the age of 19. She never had any children and was married, but her husband divorced her when she began to decline in her mobility and health. She was unable to care for herself by the age of 58 and went into a nursing home. Jimmy never left her room. Her meals were served in her room. Her baths were given in her room, and she was only able to sit in a chair or lay in her bed. She never walked again. She had a tracheotomy and had to put her thumb over the hole in her neck to talk. Her fingers had no bones in them at all. The RA had literally eaten away her bones. Yet Jimmy never complained. There were days that her joints were red and swollen from the flare-ups of the RA, but Jimmy never complained. I began seeing Jimmy at the nursing home on Sunday afternoons. She was a faithful member of Central Baptist Church when she was able to walk. She never missed a service, regardless of how much pain she was in. We would spend our Sunday afternoons talking and singing. Jimmy read her Bible every day and prayed for the nursing home residents. She positioned her chair so she could see them walking by her room all day. One day she asked me to bring her a prayer sheet from the church, and that is what began Jimmy's greatest ministry. She prayed daily over every name. I know she did, because if I misspelled the name or had a name on there twice or left a name on that needed to be removed, Jimmy would tell me. My one job was to bring her a prayer sheet every week and tell her about any other issues that needed prayer. And Jimmy prayed. She would also ask about answers to prayers, never forgetting a request, never forgetting a request. You had to see this lady. I mean, I remember when I was a kid seeing her. You just was hardly recognizable. Her hands were so shriveled up, and yet she just always asked how things were going as far as prayer goes. Her greatest ministry was her final ministry, my aunt says, approaching the throne of grace with the needs of others. She passed away April 22nd, 1999. One year, the nursing home gave every resident a Christmas stocking with their name on it. I still hang her Christmas stocking up with all the other Christmas decorations every Christmas. Jimmy Chambers was a prayer warrior, a faithful servant of God, and I miss her dearly. She was an example to others for not giving up in your service for the Lord. She served her church by praying for us, and she lists this verse, Revelation chapter 5, verse 8. It says, "The four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." And she mentions Revelation 8, 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." I read that testimony this morning because it has had such an impact on my life. But I want to tell you this morning that everyone can do something. The woman had no physical capabilities at all, but she could pray, and that's what she did. And I often am convicted by the testimony of Jimmy Chambers, because I'm afraid that one day when we get to heaven, we may realize a lot of opportunity we had to pray and we didn't. A lot of opportunity to lift before the throne of grace our needs and the lost souls that are associated with us. We need to be involved in ministry. I have some concerns about ministry that I want to share with you this morning. And when I say concerns, I just want to give you a perspective that we struggle with at times. What I really want to talk about is some concerns regarding ministry. First of all, ministry is a privilege. It is a privilege. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Did you know that the ministry is not a right? It is a privilege. It is an honor to participate in. I don't believe that we deserve to be in ministry. If we're going to look at Scripture and what Scripture has to say about what we deserve, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What we deserve is to spend eternity in hell. But because of what Jesus did, we have an opportunity to be involved in ministry, and it is a privilege. The ministry is not a burden. Now, don't get me wrong. There are burdens associated with ministry. I can tell you that. But it is not one of those things where we should say, "Oh, I got to go to the church and do this again. I sure wish somebody else would step up so I wouldn't have to keep." You know, that view of ministry is wrong. We ought to look at our opportunities to serve God as an amazing privilege to participate in eternity. What is a ministry? It is a privilege. I like what Paul said there in what I just read in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, where he says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the calling of God." What does he say? The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not just a calling, but serving the Lord was a high calling. It was an honor to serve him. It was a privilege to serve him. And whether the job that God has given you in ministry is teaching, whether it's cleaning, whether it's participating in handing out literature, making the bulletin, whatever it might be, taking up the offering, my friend, it is a high calling of God that you are participating in ministry. It is a ministry to take a gospel tract and hand that to someone who does not know the Lord. It is a ministry to help shovel the snow at the church. Keep that in mind if it snows in the future. It's a ministry to participate in that. And believe me, I do. I view it that way. I want to be able, no matter what is needed to help the house of God to function, to help our church move forward, it is a ministry. Now, there are times where we can get tired. There are times when we feel, you know, overworked or burdened by it. And that is a time for us to remember what we're doing. Remember that we're not focused on ourselves. And I'll get to that in just a minute. I have a biblical illustration of someone who got a little, I guess, a little confused about the ministry that God had called them to. But I want you to understand, and I hope that you do, that ministry is a privilege. It is the business of the eternal, and we get to be used of God to impact eternity. And boy, that helps me with my perspective. It really does. To impact eternity, to impact forever for the Lord. The ministry is all about who you're serving, isn't it? It's all about who you're serving. Let me tell you that the ministry, if you haven't realized this already, the ministry most of the time is not all that glamorous. You know, it's not that you serve in ministry so that you have a prestigious position that everybody says, "Wow, you know, look at that person who's serving in a remarkable ministry." It's not something that you get involved in to build your ego per se. The ministry can and is very humbling, and rightfully so. The ministry is very selfless. This is for the Lord, and it's because of who we're serving that it is the greatest privilege in life that you have. The greatest honor in life that you will have is to serve the Lord. It's all about who you're serving. You know, it doesn't make a difference. It's not glamorous to serve one Jared Trickey. You know, it's not glamorous to serve one Doug McLean. It's glamorous, it's wonderful and humbling and selfless to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You know, and Jesus was a perfect example, by the way, of how to do that. Ministry is a privilege. What's more important than ministry? So, number one, ministry is a privilege. Number two, there is a priority over ministry. There is a priority over ministry. I want you to turn in your Bibles now to Luke chapter 10. If you know your Bible well, you may know what story takes place in Luke chapter 10 and why I say that there is a priority over ministry. The ministry ought to be a part of every Christian's life. The ministry is one of the greatest privileges, but as important as it is, and as wonderful as the ministry is, there is actually something that takes priority over the ministry, and we need to make sure we understand this priority. So let's take a minute to look. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, overwhelmed, you could say, about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her those well-known words, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Martha was not doing wrong, per se. It was a need. There needed to be the things that she was doing, the work that she was putting in, the being cumbered about. Those were things that were necessary to be done. But Mary and Martha both responded to the visit of Jesus in two very different ways. And what I want us to understand is this. Both Mary and Martha were doing things that were right. In a way, it was right for Martha to be doing what she was doing, but there was something that was more important. There was something that was priority. There was something that meant more, and Jesus was not about to take Mary away from what she was doing. What Mary was doing was sitting at the feet of Jesus. That is a priority over ministry. I can tell you from experience this morning that you don't have a ministry if you don't sit at Jesus' feet first. You don't have a ministry where God is working and using you in a way that he could if you at first are working on your relationship with him. I mean, if you are, let's say you're a Sunday school teacher and you prepare your lesson, but you don't have any time to sit at the feet of Jesus personally, there's something off of priority there. If you serve in any capacity in the church and it takes you away from your time alone with the Lord, there is a priority problem because sitting at the feet of Jesus takes priority. We all need time at the feet of Jesus. Every Christian ought to have a time every day where they sit and take time to worship the Lord and to learn from his word. There ought to be that time alone with God. And I know all the reasons why it's hard. I've got four kids. You know, I have a busy schedule. It's just hard to find a quiet time. And I understand all of that. But we need to have a time where we're sitting at Jesus' feet because that enables us, you understand, it gets us in the right mindset to do the work of the ministry and not be poor in our attitude with it. When you understand that you have a calling of God and a ministry to be involved in, and that is solidified by what you have read in Scripture, and he's driving you through your knowledge of it, you don't tend to look at yourself. You don't tend to look at the wearisome part of it. You're participating because you have a relationship with the Lord and you want to serve. We all need to sit at the feet of Jesus. Working with the children, working with the music, working with finances, keeping in contact with missionaries. It's so important. And I wish we could do even more in those ways. Those are all good things that we should be doing. There's nothing wrong with doing those things in the ministry. But we should never forget our priority over ministry, and that is sitting at the feet of Jesus. And that's exactly what Jesus was pointing out to Martha. And we can be running around nonstop doing this in the ministry and doing that in the ministry and lose focus of where our priority should be. I like what Hudson Taylor said. Hudson Taylor said, God will never work through a man until he's worked in a man. He will never work through a man until he's worked in a man. Failing to spend time at the feet of Jesus will cause you to be inadequate for the ministry. Think about that. It's just that it's just as if you were trying to get ready for a busy day of work and you haven't eaten anything and you haven't provided your body with the needed energy and the needed sustenance to move forward. Ministry sustenance is God's word. That is what gives you the energy to do the ministry in a way that is pleasing the Lord. Number three, there is a problem in ministry as well. It's a privilege. There is a priority, but there's problems with ministry as well. We just talked about the privilege. We talked about priority and how it's important to sit at Jesus' feet. But over the years, I have noticed, and I could give you several examples. I won't do it for the sake of time, but ministry, there is a problem that happens sometimes in ministry where those who are serving view the ministry that they are doing as their property. Does that make sense? This is mine. This is for me to do. This is mine alone. And although that is really a rough exterior of what it looks like, it does happen more than you think. It happens where people take ownership. And in a sense, I appreciate those who are dedicated and sold out to their ministry. That is a great thing to get involved in and to really take the effort to go forward and to push forward. That's wonderful. But we have to understand, and I hope you do this morning, that all ministry belongs to God. It's His first and foremost. You are merely a participant because of His grace and because of His enablement in the ministry of God. You are a participant. Ministry is done under the authority of the local church. And who's the head of the local church? According to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, Christ is the head of the local church. So any ministry done in the church isn't our property. It belongs to God. It's His. All of our ministry belongs to Christ. And what we do in ministry and for how long we serve in a particular ministry is all up to Him. It belongs to Him. And this goes great lengths to help us with prioritizing ministry as well. When we understand this belongs to God, we spend our time with Him. We prioritize our time at the feet of Jesus. Turn now to Numbers chapter 11. I'll show you that example that I was speaking about. Numbers chapter 11. At this point in Scripture, Moses was fed up with the children of Israel. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, "But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, and beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell away upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord," now listen carefully to Moses here and what he's saying. He says, "Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them, that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth the sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness." You see, whenever a person sees and views ministry as their property, you understand the Moses' experience here, right? This is, God, why do I have to do this? Oh, how come you're making me put up with this? I'm just killing myself. This is awful. Am I the one that births this group of people? Am I the one responsible? And I, and you hear that word I, all throughout there. One of the things that often happens when ministry becomes our property, there's three things that I've seen it time and time again, and perhaps you have as well. Either pride flares up, or you burn out, or a combination of both. You have a pride and you become too much for it, or you burn out, or it's a combination of both. I believe we see here with Moses that he's experiencing those things. He focuses all his attention on himself, pride, and he's completely burned out in the ministry. Do you know what his problem was? I believe that he started to see the ministry he was involved in as his property. We don't ever want you as a Christian to reach this point in ministry. And you'll see, and we don't have time to read it per se, but in the next several verses, God handled this problem and delegated people to assist Moses. And I believe he understood and realized at that point that there was more to what he was doing than just himself. And there's other examples in Scripture, but here's three phrases that I have heard that I find are very good when it comes to ministry. And here they are. Number one, it's not all up to you. It's not all up to you. Number two, it's not about you. And number three, it's not because of you. Say, well, thanks a lot for that, Brother Jared. It's not all up to you. Some people have this idea. If I'm not here, then the church isn't going to make it. Or if this ministry isn't going to make it, it's because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I didn't do my part. And you know what? It's not all about you. It's not all about me. It's all about Jesus. And when we understand that it's all about Jesus, our priorities are clear. And our efforts are not for anybody watching us. Our efforts are not for our pastor. Our efforts are for Jesus. Our efforts are for the Lord. What we're putting out and the time that we're investing is for eternity. Eternity. It's not for the temporal. It's not all about you. It's not because of you. There's a problem in the ministry we all need to avoid, and it's selfishness in ministry. Selfishness in ministry. It's not all up to you. It's not about you. It's not because of you. It's because of the Lord, and it's for the Lord. Finally, this morning, I want you to see the purpose of ministry. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll just read one verse there if you'd like to turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4 in verse 11. While you're turning there, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, what does it say? Do all to the glory of God. Do all to the glory of God. 1 Peter 4 verse 11, it says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have to understand the purpose in ministry. The purpose in ministry is that God receive the glory, and that all things God may be glorified. Your purpose is what drives why you do what you do, and how you do what you do. And the purpose of ministry is not to have 150 kids in junior church. Am I against 150 kids in junior church? No, what a great problem that would be, right? That would be difficult to handle, but it would be great. It'd be great. But the goal is not to have 1,000 people in this church building. It wouldn't fit anyway, would it? But that's not the primary goal. Do I want more people? Do I want more kids? Do I want bigger and better things for New Testament Baptist Church? Of course I do, if all of that comes under the head of glorifying God first, glorifying the Lord first. Our purpose is to bring honor and glory to the Lord. If we're not careful, we can start making numbers our purpose in ministry, or we can start making results our purpose in ministry. And I agree with you that it is so encouraging to see results. It is so encouraging to see our size increase and attendance improve. All that is just wonderful things. But is it because, is God receiving the glory for what we're doing? And what is motivating us? Ultimately, ministry is not about us. The ministry is all about our God and giving him the glory and the praise that he deserves. And our motivation behind everything we do in ministry ought to be, may this bring great glory to God, not to me, but to my God. And if God receives the glory that was due him because our small part in ministry, then we've accomplished our greatest purpose to bring glory to God. Do you know what the primary purpose of soul winning is? You'd automatically say, well, see, soul saved. I would agree, that's important. But you know what? Have you ever gone and knocked on doors or told people or handed out tracts and they slammed the door in your face, or they gave the tract back, or they refused to, or they threw the tract down? You know what? Did you get results? Did you glorify God? God says, go and do and tell. Let me tell you, if you walk away from that and not one soul was saved, but God received the glory, you fulfilled the greatest purpose. I'm glad that the increase is up to God and not to me, right? I mean, if we had to perform a certain way and have certain, you know what? God is the one who convicts that lost soul. God is the one who moves in their heart, and we can scream and cry and blurt till we're blue in the face, but it is God who gives the increase. So I want to encourage you, I want to challenge you to glorify God first and foremost. Pastor, you make it sound like everything we do is just for him. Exactly. Exactly. It is just for him. And when it becomes just about us, or when it becomes us and a little him, problems start to happen. We get tired. We get burnt out. We get upset. We get disappointed. You know what? I was reading some biographies of missionaries. By the way, there's still a lot of great books downstairs on the table that are free for you all to take. So if after church you want to go down and see that. But there's missionary stories, and it brought to mind some of those who struggled greatly in the mission field and yet were glorifying God with every struggle that they did. I mean, we're talking a handful of souls saved from a lifetime of service to him. And you look at it and say, how could they do that? How could they, to witness to people who hate them and for years and years tried to kill them and threaten them? You know why? Because God called them to go. God told them to do, and they did it for the glory of God. I can't remember her name exactly, but she was known as the White Queen of Calabar. You should read that story. I think it's, I can't remember. She was in Ivory Coast, and she spent her life trying to win souls to Christ. And towards the end of her life, she had one convert. And that one convert led another to the Lord, another to the Lord, and there was a great working of God. And you know, when you think of those types of stories, and it's encouraging if your priority is to sit at the feet of Jesus and you realize who owns the ministry, and it is God. It is all about God, and I challenge you to glorify God first in the ministry he has called you to. Would you stand, please, this morning? With every head bowed and every eye closed, just for a few minutes this morning as the pianist plays, I am in constant need myself of remembering why I serve in the ministry. You say, well, Jared, you're called to be a pastor. You're called to preach and to be involved in the ministry. So, yes, I am, but it is so easy to get distracted. It is so easy to be sidetracked, and that's exactly what Satan would love to happen. He wants you to get sidetracked. He wants you to take the ministry and be the owner of it rather than understanding that it is God it belongs to. I wonder if you can sing those words, be glorified, Lord. Not me. It's not about me. It's about him. Father, would you bless this time of invitation this morning? Lord, it's not necessarily a time where anybody has to come forward, Lord, but this is a time for us to review and to reflect upon what your word says. Lord, Martha was so vital in wanting to be a good servant and had so many things to do, and she was cumbered about that she lost track, that she was not focused on you 100%. Oh, Lord, that happens many times as we're trying to move forward, as we're trying to serve. We get cumbered about and we begin to burn out. Lord, you help us to realize what ministry is about and who it's about. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Just a few more minutes. I want you to think of that lady, Jimmy Chan.